Welcome to another episode of the Wholehearted Leader Coaching Conversation with your host and guide, Lance Howard. I am honored that you're here today to listen to author, speaker on forgiveness, primarily Bruce Hebel on forgiving forward. Now, you may not think that you have anyone to forgive in your life, but could I just invite you to listen to this conversation for a few moments, allow it to sink into your mind and to penetrate your heart. I believe that this episode could have the opportunity to shift the trajectory of your life, business, and marriage. I'm honored by your time today. Thank you for being here. Well, welcome to the podcast. I'm honored to have you join in for another conversation today. I'm delighted and honored to be joined with Bruce Hebel with Forgiving Forward Ministry and his wife, Tony, as well. But man, I'm just incredibly honored to bring this conversation to you. One, because it has been a transformative work in my own personal life. And that's the primary reason that Bruce is here today. And so I hope that you'll gain some wisdom and insight and even apply some of the things that Bruce shares today. So thanks for being here, Bruce.
Hey, glad to be here, Lance. Great to reconnect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm not assuming that you listen to the podcast. So this first question may surprise you, but nonetheless, I know that you live on your toes. So what was the last date that you took Tony on, and what does that reveal about your leadership?
That is an interesting question. Last date I took her on was a, we actually went in end of December. I took her to the Bahamas, or we went to the Bahamas as to celebrate our 44th anniversary. And so we had two or three dates in that thing. It was just a great time. So what does it say about my leadership? I have no idea. I've been married 44 years, so evidently I'm doing something right.
That's great. That's great. Who initiated? Who wanted to go to the Bahamas?
Well, I think she actually initiated. It was part of a whole birthday for me plan, which was to go. She got me tickets through a friend of ours whose daughter works for the Dolphins, the Cowboy Dolphin game in Miami on Christmas Eve. And then we just decided, she said, let's see what we can do. And so when she presented the one, we talked about the other and said, yeah. So it's actually the first time. This may say something really bad about my husband leadership, but it's the first time in 44 years, Tony and I actually celebrate our anniversary on our anniversary by ourselves.
Wow.
Because December 28th was an amazing day to get married. It was a terrible day to have an anniversary. Christmas and New Year's just blows it up every year. We finally said, nuts on this. We're leaving. We're not seeing anybody. So we left on the 23rd and came back on the 29th. So,
yeah. So you're saying there's hope, because I think, so I'm 25, 26 years removed. We got married on the 18th. So like, I feel your pain on that one. It's like, how do you, everybody told us you're crazy for getting married in Christmas. And we're like, we're young, dumb, and in love. And it's like, we didn't really understand and the magnitude of that. So,
yeah, it's a great day to get married. Well, it's a great time to get married. It's just the anniversary becomes problematic, but it's all right. Anniversaries are dates, so we're good.
All right. So after you've had a great time in the Bahamas and eating probably more than what we all need to eat, what is your preferred style of working out and taking care of your physical body?
Well, it's not as good as it ought to be. What I need to get back to actually is I will go through Insanity, which is a cardio workout.
Sean T.
Yeah. I've done his T25 as well. So oftentimes that's what I do.
Look at you.
We sometimes will walk around the neighborhood, but it takes some discipline. It's hard to do when we travel. Wow. That's the challenge.
Wow. You just leveled up. And that's amazing. Kudos to you. Fist bump. Yeah. I love it. Yeah,
for an old man, it's kind of wears me out. When I'm a bit out of it for a while and I get back in, I realize this is crazy. So yeah.
It's good. All right, Bruce. I know your story. We connected several months ago now at this point. Clearly, most of the listeners probably don't know your story. So we're going to get into just what could be helpful to share about your story. But I just want to say before we possibly lose anybody that's listening to this, y'all's video series that is on Right Now Media is just next level. And so I'm thankful for the resources you are putting out, the money that you're spending as a nonprofit ministry to do things with excellence is first class. So thank you for that. So when we watched the Forgiving Forward series on Right Now Media and went through that, I'll get into some of this later. I was like, man, this is good. This is real good. And it just kind of opened my eyes. My paradigm was kind of exploded at that point of like, oh, there's a whole nother element of forgiveness that I've never even tapped into. So if you don't have access to Right Now Media, just somebody get a hold of me and I will get you access so you can watch the series. But we'll give you all that stuff in the show notes as well. So
yeah. Bruce, or they can just go to our website and they can get access to the course through our website too. There's a fee with that, but yeah, however you can get to it.
Yeah. So forgiveness, I know with time constraints, this may be difficult, but share what would be helpful for the listeners about your story and how it even led you to where you're at in this moment.
Yeah, and we could spend a lot of time with the backstory here, but basically I was raised in a pastor's home. I was 9 when I knew I was going into ministry. So ministry has always been my calling and my destiny in a sense. And my dad was a pastor and I watched him and I saw him get hurt a lot because sheep bite. They just do. They sneak up behind you and bite you in places you don't want to be bit and don't want to let go. So I saw him get hurt a lot. So I said, I'm going to learn from him. So I'm going to go to Bible college and I meet Tony. We get married. We go to seminary. it's a fine line between those two things, and get trained by some of the most godly people on the planet. I mean, I'm well equipped, and we go into our first ministry and we get bit hard. And then it happened to us multiple times in multiple places, locations over many years. Tony actually calls one day in one of our darker moments, called Focus on the Family Pastoral Hotline, where hundreds and hundreds of pastors every year call in crisis. And they said it was the worst story they'd ever heard and want to know why we were still doing it, because it was our calling. So, but there was about a year about ministry that, you know, and I taught about forgiveness. I thought I knew forgiveness. And, you know, no pastor worth his salt is going to say forgiveness is a bad idea. We all tell people to forgive, but we rarely understand. I didn't, and so many people don't understand what forgiveness actually is and how to do it. And more significantly, the consequences of unforgiveness. Because there was a year in my life when I was in torment. An old wound got knocked off by a current event, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I'm a pastor. I'm not supposed to have problems. I'm supposed to help problems. So I didn't tell anybody. I stuffed it, and I did the dumb guy pastor thing. And I'm just a mess. And finally, through a counselor and encouragement and some conversation, and I went away for a retreat, and God just confronted me that I had not forgiven a particular man in my past that had wounded me. And long, deep wrestle, argument between me and God. God doesn't argue with us. He just kind of pleads his case, but we kind of fight him. And I wrestled with him pretty hard. And finally, I made the decision to forgive that man for what he did. And completely changed me. I mean, I'm a completely different, my heart is free. I'm cranking up the iPod. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I'm free. Get home, shared it with Tony. She'd been wounded by the same guy. She forgave. We gathered our kids together because pastors' kids get hurt a lot and they don't know what to do with it. Our kids are in their late teens, early 20s at the time. We gathered them together. They forgave. We spent 11 hours actually in one day dealing with old stuff. And it completely changed my life. It just changed us. And then what's interesting, right after that, we got a graduate level exam in forgiveness. And so God began to teach us some very clear protocols about forgiveness. And one of the things he taught us is, and I'm going to summarize this really quickly. If you want to go to our website, you can watch a sermon on the website for free. It's right there. Just scroll down, see me on a platform. It kind of will explain this further. But based upon Matthew 18, God hands us over to tormentors when we don't forgive. He literally gives authority for demonic tormentors to torment us when we don't forgive. Because when we don't forgive, we're saying the blood of Jesus may satisfy God for what the person did, but I need something more than that. And it's coming out of the Matthew 18 parable of the guy who was forgiven the insurmountable debt. The calculation of 10,000 talents is $7.5 billion, right? That's crazy money. Yeah. That was forgiven, but he wouldn't forgive 16 grand. And so the whole image is, if we've been forgiven, God expects us to forgive others. If we receive the horizontal forgiveness of God, he demands that we take it vertical to people who've wounded us, because the blood of Jesus covers all sin, including the ones that wound me. And the moment a person forgives, the tormentors are commanded by God to leave and freedom happens. We've seen marriages on the rocks, some divorced, reconciled in one conversation. We've seen cocaine addiction end in one conversation and forgiveness session. We've seen people physically healed simply by forgiving. That's not all physical things are connected with unforgiveness, but if the torment is expressing itself through a physical issue, when the forgiveness happens, the torment's no longer necessary, the discipline ends, and the healing takes place. It's crazy what we see done and what see God do and the freedom that happens. So that's kind of a very quick summary of our story. There's so much more to it, but basically when we forgive, we're honoring the blood of Jesus. When we don't forgive, we're dishonoring the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus does cover what I did, and I'm glad for that, but it also covered what that person did.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. So good. You know, this recent week, I've heard it said this way, is that betrayal is really some of the core human emotion that we'll all experience. It's probably the emotion that leads us into the depths of, like, okay, this is an opportunity to grow up, or it can lead us in just, you know, more chaos throughout life, right? And so when you and I connected back, I guess, late this past fall, we had watched the video series, went through the protocols, and we had connected with you and Tony over Zoom, you know, set up this 3-hour session with you guys. And I'm like, I'm good. Right. Much like yourself, I was like, I did the pastoral thing of like, I know the answers. And even in my heart, I'm like, I've processed quite a bit. And I was just blown away, Bruce, when you were like, well, hold on, let's just go ahead and, you know, finish the session out. Let's go through these, you know, protocols together. And man, talk about some scabs or the Band-Aid were ripped off. And the first question that you asked me is like, well, where would you like to begin? Right. You talk about the sins of unforgiveness, and you're like, well, who's the first person you need to forgive? And right here I am, 20 years of pastoral work, of many, many wounds. And I'm thinking about these various leaders in my life, or people that I've had the opportunity to walk alongside and serve. And you asked me that question, and all of a sudden my unconscious brain memory wound said my mother.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I would attribute that more to the Holy Spirit, but yes, go ahead.
and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I don't know where we're going now. So it was just one of those moments that reminded me that one, even in the space that you sit, the set that I sit, that we need to be under people who are leading us, serving us, and trusting, to your point, that people bring resources together to steward us closer to wholeheartedness, right? And so let's maybe,
yeah. And I think in your case, which is the common case for us, right? The presenting wounds are not the issues,
right?
The issues aren't the issues. What we think are the issues aren't. They're issues, but they're not the issues. They're not the root issues. And we've coached we're in the thousands. We're way over 1,000 couples we've coached. And we have a 90, to 95% breakthrough rate in one sitting. The only ones who don't get free are the ones who don't do what we suggest.
Yep.
Because the gospel is that sure. But the root wound, there's a root wound in every couple we've coached. There's a root wound that's causing the torment, that's actually driving the conflict in their relationship that predates the couple knowing each other. Mm. And so there's always, that's why we ask the question, who's the first person who made you feel that way? Mm. And when we come, in your case, we ask, Holy Spirit, who do you want Lance to forgive? So Lance, who's the first name, first face that comes to your mind? And you're probably thinking it was Pastor X, right? Or Pastor Z or whatever. But it was mom, because there was a root wound from mom. Now, understand, when you forgive someone, I'm like, clear here, when you forgive someone doesn't mean that person who you were forgiving is a bad person. They may be a great person. Yep. Good people wound people.
Right.
And wounded people wound people. And so you're not dishonoring someone because you're not forgiving them. You're forgiving the wounds that they inflicted. So Father, forgive them. Yeah. They know not what they do. So moms could be great, but she can still wound us.
Right.
Probably coming in.
And even on that point, I think it's important to highlight as people listen is that when we hear wounds, we kind of magnify it and be like, well, wounds, that seems kind of extreme. Right. But in this very specific scenario, I had just felt like my voice was lost in that relationship, you know, and right to your point, great mothering, great leadership, great home. But at some point I felt that I had lost a sense of voice and my own leadership in my life. And so forgiveness is a powerful thing that I've never really understood the way that we went through it that day. So let's maybe walk through maybe a few of these components, maybe the first part of it and the last part of it, because there's some questions around that I have. Share more about what you mean around the sins of unforgiveness.
Well, when we don't forgive, it's a sin. Anytime we don't do what God tells us to do is a sin. Understand that. When we... to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's a sin. If we don't do what he tells us to do, we are violating God. We're saying, God, you don't know best. I know best. So therefore, I'm going to do it my way. So just on basic, ignoring God's command is a sin. But we believe that unforgiveness is the most harshly disciplined sin we can commit, because our unforgiveness says the blood of Jesus is not enough. And there's a passage in Hebrews 10, and I'm going to look it up to make sure I read it correctly. It says, how much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, and here's the biggie, and regarded as unclean or insufficient or not pure enough the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace. So our unforgiveness says, okay, God, you may forgive them, and you may value the blood of Jesus enough to satisfy you for what they did. Because remember, 1 John 2:2 says, he is the satisfaction for our sins, but not for ours only, the sins of the whole world, right? And so when he's paid the price for all of that, and God says, I'm satisfied, who are we to say we need something more? And so God disciplines us from that. Kind of follow-up question on that. If the blood of Jesus is not enough for you to satisfy you, exactly what would be? What could they possibly do that would be more valuable than what Jesus did for us on the cross? So it's really dishonoring the blood of Jesus when we don't forgive. Yeah. And I don't think many people see that. I get what you said earlier from people. I've never heard it that way. I've never understood this. It clicks and it makes sense. They get it. But so oftentimes it's just muddy out there. And I think part of the reason is that the enemy knows he can't get us to say forgiveness is a bad idea. We all want to, he just so muddies the concept that we salute it, but don't actually know how to do it.
Yeah. So good. So let's maybe bookend that part of it with the last part of it. this idea about the disciplined and the torment. Like, what are those things, and how have you seen them manifested in people's life, both on what we, let's just call it a Likter scale of 1 to 10, like, right, seemingly mundane and trivial things, all the way up to like the 10 of, like, you know, severe post-traumatic stress, or the marriage that's absolutely at divorce stages, or maybe that it's, you know, they've been separated for 2 years. So maybe walk us through that discipline and those torment extremes there.
Well, we see torment expressed in anxiety, depression, controlling anger, paranoia, all of the addictions, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, sex addictions, food addictions, and as we said earlier, some physical issues. And there can be a minor expression that goes deep oftentimes, or just stays crazy, right? And I think even post-traumatic stress syndrome oftentimes is a unforgiveness issue, right? And so when we don't forgive, the tormentors brings us to those places where our focus is always on the past and all that. That keeps our focus off of the cross. It keeps our focus off of Jesus. So we see in a marriage, for instance, there'll be a conflict, and the husband will not know what he did wrong, right? What did I do? Well, it may not be he did anything specifically wrong, but what he did reminds her of her father. Just one critique on the meal, you know, I'm not really great, you know, this isn't my favorite, right? Becomes a, I can't do anything right. Yeah. Well, why? Because dad growing up was constantly nitpicking and controlling everything in her life. And so it left her insecure and feeling, I can't do anything right. So when her husband gives any kind of criticism, she's not hearing her husband's voice. She's hearing her father's voice. And it takes the minor incident and makes it into a major incident. And that's a sign that there's an unresolved wound from the past.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. For people that are trying to discern, you know, what this torment is, because I think, right, we all have forgiveness and things that we need to walk through. What are some of the first signs that you've seen people raise their hand and ask for help? Like, I think I may have something going on, but I'm not real sure.
Well, the number one sign is bitterness, right? They're just a rank spirit. There's just something in me. There's also can be that subtle nagging about, you know, constantly thinking about this, constantly up at night over it. You're losing sleep over it, or you're consistently having a conversation in your head with the offending party, and you always know just what you're gonna say, right? And you're gonna make them pay. It's not okay. So we're obsessing over that. I think sometimes obsessing over the justice of something is a sign that we don't really understand the cross, and we haven't forgiven. So there's some. It can be a very subtle bitterness. It's just an unsettledness. It's just anxiety, fear-based. That so if you're starting to just not feel peace, I think you lose your peace when the tormentors are there.
Yeah, yeah. When Jessica and I, you know, we went through the experience, it unlocked freedom in a whole new level for us, for myself, personally. We signed up to come to the training with you guys, mm-hmm. and y'all shared several stories about just radical transformation that has happened in some of these, you know, 3-hour sessions that you'll normally block out. I don't know if there's one that you would like to share, maybe a new one, or maybe that day that we were together that you didn't have an opportunity to share. But I think hearing some of these transformational stories can really help paint a picture of what this looks like.
Wow. There's so many. I'm trying to think what I shared then and what others we could do. What recently, Tony, coached a young lady, she's 19 years old. I don't know her story. We don't share stories with each other, but yep. Maybe some overviews, but we don't, we just don't, to protect the forgiven, basically. But this, Tony said it's one of the worst stories she's heard. She goes, I don't know how this 19-year-old could have survived, could have suffered that much in 19 years, and I don't know how much, how she could have survived it. I mean, terrific. And just, she was nervous. She was, yeah, just in a bad spot. I think this conversation went pretty quick. It was an hour and a half or so, hour and 45 minutes or so, just the two of them. Well, and the Tony led her to faith, put her faith in Jesus. She forgave those, all the wounds, and forgive, we're not forgiving people, we're forgiving wounds. And so we forgive multiple wounds. It's a choice. It's transactional, doing a transactional forgiveness, choosing to forgive these things. And she walked out free. I mean, literally a changed life. Her, she was bouncing out of here. Her countenance was different. Her employer had actually, who we had coached her, him and his wife who were struggling and stuff, they got free, and they sent them here. He called just not long afterward, who, because he was going to actually do the pay for the session, and he said, she just called me, and she said she can't believe how different she is. That's kind of our normal. I don't know if we have to give you more, but I don't know if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. One of the ones I was thinking about is, and I don't remember the context of all of it, is some movie star, some person from Hollywood, flew out, came to y'all's facility outside of Atlanta, and spent some time with Tony.
Yeah, I mean, she had, you know, we don't want to give too much detail to protect her confidentiality, but yeah, she won number one reality show on her network where she was on, and she was a mess. But she was incredibly famous, and her mother was part of a cult, and when she was 13, she was asked to sign a billion-year pledge to that cult, and she refused to do that. At age 13, she said, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, much less in a billion years. I don't even know if you're here. How can I sign something for a billion years? And mom put her in a, said, go fill up your backpack, and put her on the streets of LA at 13, said, have a nice life. And so a lot of deep, deep wounds. Again, in that case, she came to faith. She, then she forgave, got radically freed. She was actually engaged to a, another female celebrity. She, in that time, she not only accepted Christ, she forgave all the things, and at the end, she denounced the homosexual lifestyle, made the commitment to God, repented of it to God, and made the commitment to end the relationship, which she did within subsequent weeks, and or subsequent days. It was within a week or so, we heard reports. And life was changed, just completely changed. And, you know, what's interesting, I mean, she'd seen a lot of people trying to help her get through all this stuff, gone through all sorts of stuff. But until you take the cross and you apply the cross, you apply the blood of Jesus as payment in full for every wound I ever have or will suffer, when you do that, freedom takes place. Anything else just gives you anesthesia.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, even since being with you guys, I came home and I've led several men in my executive coaching through it, and just seen profound shifts in countenance and leaderships and their husbandry and leading at work. It just is totally different.
Yeah. Let me ask, if you're in torment, you're not going to lead well.
No, absolutely not.
And when you deal with that, then you get particularly, when you deal with that, it opens up the access of the Holy Spirit to communicate back and forth with you. You know, it's still there, but it's, there's a block, there's a clog, the hose is crimped. So once we forgive, it opens our pipe, and the Holy Spirit can use us and work through us. We can, I'm not even sure you can effectively abide if you've got tormentors that have access to you. And so once we choose to forgive, God the Father tells the tormentors to leave, then the Holy Spirit can have free access without with unfettered relationship with us. So everything starts with forgiveness. If you're going to do any kind of coaching or anything, you've got to start. Do you know Jesus? Second, have you forgiven the wounds of your past? When those two things get resolved, then the rest of life can flow.
I want to ask about this torment stuff. Because even as I continue to parse it out in my own walk and try to understand that day in the training together, you said there's fleshly aspects of like the reality of like we have to steward our body, for example, well. And if we don't, there are consequences to that. But that necessarily isn't tied to a sin of unforgiveness.
No.
Always.
No.
So how do we go about understanding wounds versus choices that we make or sickness and inferring that that's a wound of that needs to be forgiven, right? So how do we go about really kind of trying to discern and understand what the Spirit is trying to heighten our awareness to?
Well, I think if you start seeing some of the symptoms we said before, that means, okay, God, is there a wound in me? Yeah, the psalmist says, try me, test my mind and my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me. So God, is there something in me? Is there a wound I have not resolved? Is there something I'm holding on to that I've not applied your blood to and laid at the cross? Is there something there? So if there's turmoil, if there's anxiety, there's fear, all that stuff, those things are feeling like outside forces inside of you, you know, that I would go toward where's the wound we haven't dealt with? If it's some, but sometimes it's just the flesh. I want my way. The flesh is that force outside of us. It's that gets us to move away from our honoring God. It's not outside of it. It's inside us. It's part of our human body. It's what, which is not eradicated, which is not redeemable. It's part of the human body connection that our revived spirit, our enlivened spirit and revived soul now is residing in. So once we deal with it's not a forgiveness and it's just an obedience issue. It's just a yielding issue. It's just, I want my way, God. I don't want your way. So, and the answer to that is repentance and abiding. So if there's a wound and the torment that, it's forgiveness, applying the blood of Jesus. If not, you have to learn to abide. Jesus, I'm yours. And I think sometimes this is not really part of it's a conversation today, I don't think, but it's a broader conversation maybe for another day. But sometimes we'll fail because we're trying to do it in our own strength, not because we want our own way per se. We want God's way, but we want to do it in our own way and in our own strength rather. And so God will not let us be effective in that because he wants us to learn to abide and depend upon him. So there's a abiding struggle, which leads to flesh fits and flesh activity and all that. And then there's wounds and unforgiven wounds that bring to torment, and they can look a lot alike. And sometimes one will beget the other.
That's a good word. The sense of abiding and trying to understand the difference of when you're not bearing fruit in your life. Hopefully those become good signs that you're not walking in joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Like really, like if it's not that, then there's some issues to address, right?
Yeah. And the other thing, go ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there something, where is the wound? Who do I need to forgive? Is there something there? And just stop and listen. Yeah. It's his job to answer that prayer. Yeah. And he's good at his job. So just listen. Sometimes I don't think we listen well enough.
Sometimes I struggle with it every day.
Yeah.
Listening to the Good Shepherd is hard work.
It is.
It is. Living a lifestyle of forgiveness. So, right, you kind of go through these protocols, get set free. Help us to understand what a lifestyle of forgiveness really looks like. Because, right, this transformation happens, this freedom happens. So, one, there's the constant decision and discipline to live a lifestyle of forgiveness. But then there's the ongoing work of growth and sanctification and all those things. So that's probably two different questions. So let's take the first one of how do you choose to live a lifestyle of forgiveness after a profound experience?
Well, and I think while they're two different questions, they are not unrelated. I think, and let me clarify too, we're forgiving wounds and they're transactional. So I forgave my dad for this, and this, right? Well, that's done. I don't have to deal with that again. I've transferred those debt to the cross. It's done. Mm-hmm. But dad repeats the wound tomorrow. Mm. That's a new wound. So I have to choose to forgive that. So we talk about in the protocols, the seventh protocol is making pre-forgiveness of lifestyle, is realizing whenever I'm wounded, whatever happens to me has already been paid for by Jesus. And I think one of the struggles many people have with forgiveness when there's a incomplete model is who pays for what happened. If I'm going to forgive, I'll forgive. I'm going to forgive Lance. I'm going to forgive him. But that means I'm absorbing the cost. Hmm. All right. So Lance breaks my car. Well, I'm just going to forgive him and I'm going to go pay to have my car fixed. Well, that's not the gospel. Hmm. The gospel is Lance broke my car. There's an insurance company that is committed to and fully capable of and legally obligated to fix my car. So he fixed my car. And so now my car is fixed. And so I'm no longer holding it against Lance. Yeah. So forgiveness says everything that comes to me has already been paid. There's a greater entity that's already funded that payment. So I learned to not be offended. I learned to say, I'm not going to be offended because I'm not going to carry an offense because it's already been paid for. And I don't want to live in torment. So I would rather to just say, amen. The blood of Jesus covers that. I declare this person is no longer my debt. And I transfer it to the cross and we're done. I forgive them for this, and they're done. It's transfer the cross. And God, would you bless them? Just bless them. Because if you can't bless someone, you've not forgiven. Now, once you're walking in this, that takes abiding. That takes understanding the cross. It takes focusing on Jesus. Jesus has to remind me all the time. The Holy Spirit has to remind me all the time. Yeah, that's been forgiven. So learn to walk in obedience, immediately forgive, and immediately listen to the Spirit when he says forgive. So they kind of go hand in hand, although they're two different questions.
They totally go hand in hand, right? So if somebody, what's the common resources? Like how do y'all support people? Because I know your environment is like, hey, one long, deep session type of deal. What type of resources have you found meaningful and helpful for people to continue this ongoing work of growing, change, transformation, abiding? One, maybe in your own life, or two, that you just know works.
Well, as we work with people, we encourage people to go back through the material. Once they forgive, go back through the material, buy the book, get the book, go through the video course like you guys have done. Learn it. All right. Because there's some significant paradigm shifts we have to make. They're biblically supported. They're there that are just not out there in a lot of places. So learn to think theologically and biblically on that. And those sound like deep, tough words. They're not. Yeah. You're just going to live the way God wants you to live, as he outlined in his word. That's biblical and theological. And so learn that. And so the forgiving forward model, as you guys came to our coaching intensive, which is that second level where we're training you to coach the way we coach. And then just look for people that need help and help them, right? That's yeah. one aspect. On the yeah. abiding issue, I have a series called Vine Life on, it's an audio series. It needs to be a book. I have just not sat down to write it yet, that you can get. It's on John 15. Two other authors that are really, there's a lot of other authors, but two primary authors that I would recommend highly. One is a man named Mike Wells at abidinglife.com. Mike Wells. He has a PhD in counseling, but also in biblical studies. Travel the world teaching there's nothing the nearness of Jesus doesn't fix. Mike was a dear friend, mentor to me. He's with the Lord now. But his book, Heavenly Discipleship, is one of the books I used in a spiritual formations course I was teaching at Carver College here in Atlanta. It was one of the four books that I required for my students to study and read and report on. He's got a two devotionals, one that I read one every day. I alternate year to year, called My Weakness for His Strength. That's a really good one. Andrew Murray is always a good choice. Andrew Murray, he's a little deep sometimes, but he's brilliant. Same vein. There's a book called Lifetime Guarantee by Bill Gillum. Bill is with the Lord as well. What to do in your life, how to make your Christian life work and what to do when it doesn't is the subtitle. So another one of the books that I used. There's three other guys called, it's called True Faced Ministries, John Lynch, Bill Thrall, and Bruce McNichol wrote this book called The Cure, and it's an allegory. It's really good too. They're good folks.
Man, you just dumped a resource load on us. Thank you. That was that was great. That was great. Yeah. All right.
I also would highly recommend Tozer's book, The Knowledge of the Holy. I read a chapter of that every day. I read it 14 times last year. It helps orient your mind to God.
Yeah.
So the knowledge
with that, I think when we got off the Zoom with y'all that day, Tony mentioned practicing the presence, you know, brother
yes.
Lawrence.
Yes.
And that, right, there's so many profound things that help us just abide. And to your point, they don't have to be complicated. Just one or two pages a day, go back to scripture, go back to John 15, like keep learning the rhythms of Jesus, really, right? Be under the apprentice of the one who loves us so much.
Well, Brother Lawrence, you mentioned that. What made him so special, he was a monk in the 17th century rather, and he wasn't even a monk, he was a monk's aide, and became known as the most spiritual man in the monastery, because his simple goal was to focus on Jesus more today than I did yesterday, more tomorrow than I did today. So if you just want to set a goal, I don't want to think less about me and more about Jesus tomorrow. I want to think less about me and I want to think more about Jesus tomorrow. And I want to do the same thing, but more so the next day and every succeeding day, think less about me and focus more about about Jesus. And so Jesus, be my life today, be my peace today, be my, when you're angry with your wife, Jesus, be my love for my wife today. Right.
And if he wrote that in the 17th century, he was profoundly struggling with it and sharing that journey, like how much more so are we going to struggle? Like, man, we just live in an instant gratification culture, and it's like being rooted and anchored truly matters more now than ever in this, and frankly, this war that's going on for our soul.
Absolutely. But the war's been going forever. And I think God allowed the flesh to stay within us once we came to Christ in order to keep us from getting proud and to keep our focus, to force our focus back on Him. Yeah, so the 100%. Struggles is not the problem. The struggles are the answer, right? The struggles take us to Jesus.
Absolutely. Amen. So I believe when you announced in the fall, I could be wrong, what's coming up this year in terms of y'all's book launch?
Yeah, hopefully we're looking for March 19th. It's kind of dicey whether we get it done, but
do I say something or not?
Well, you can. It's coming. When it's coming? It's in the editor's hands now, and then once we get it to that, we got to get some endorsers and we got to do all the book layout and that kind of stuff too. So hopefully this spring sometime, we're going to have a revision of the book, the original Forgiving Forward book, where we've added some new material, some things we've learned in the 13 years since we originally wrote it and published it. We're adding some new additions, some study questions, and we're doing some updates from the preview. You know, this is one of the stories we used in the first book. Some we'll have some how are they now type of thing, and we're going to adding some new material at the end of each chapter. We're going to add a forgiving fast forward section where we're going to either give an update on somebody who was in the book or a new story or a new principle we learned about that. And just some more practical things we've learned in the, succeeding years. So we've learned a few things.
Absolutely. Well, so in the words of Deion Sanders, I'm not that hard to find. You guys are not that hard to find if you just type in "forgiving forward" into Google. I mean, it's just there, which was great marketing brilliance on y'all's end. But share with us where people can find you, what's going on. I know you are speaking, marriage conferences. Just share with us a taste of what's coming.
Yeah, well, I mean, on the 10th of I'm not sure when you were airing this, but on the 10th of February this year, we're doing a Regenerating Your Marriage seminar, our conference at our center in Fayetteville, Georgia. We're just outside of Atlanta. We have a center here. This is where we operate. This is where we're speaking from. And we've got another coaching intensive coming on at the center in March. So if you want to go deeper, if they want to go deeper like you did, and get trained to be a coach, we can work on that. And we've got several things brewing for this fall, for the spring, that are have not actually locked in yet, so I don't want to mention them, but we've got God just opening up all doors, and we're ready to go where we can go. Absolutely. Our passion is to help people experience the freedom of the gospel through the power of forgiveness, and everyone needs to feel that.
Thank you. Well, Bruce, man, I'm honored to have you today. Thank you to you and Tony, and may God continue to strengthen your heart and your leadership in life and marriage as y'all lead this ministry. I'm going to ask you, would you close in a word, a prayer, scripture, whatever the Spirit puts upon you, just close our time out together?
Sure. And Lance, appreciate you and Jessica. You guys are a power team and special, and we're really honored we could connect with you and help you guys out. So I guess the only thing I will end with a prayer, but let me just say, there is absolutely no reason you need to live in torment. So just learn to honor the cross by choosing to forgive, because your freedom is one choice to forgive away. And so, and there's just no sense living in torment, unless you're enjoying your torment, which I'm assuming you probably aren't. So Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for Lance and this podcast. I pray that God, you will take the words we said, the things that we spoke, and if we said anything that was amiss or unclear, you will make it straight and make it clear. But Lord, I pray that there will be hundreds of people who will learn to forgive and find freedom by doing so, and that you will help just expand this revolution of freedom through forgiveness to more and more places. Lord, the gospel is clear. You died to pay for our sins, and you died to pay for their sins too. And we best reflect you forgiving us when we choose to forgive others. So just just be all that we need you to be in us, so that we can walk in the freedom that your gospel calls for. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I hope you found today's episode encouraging to you, your life, and your leadership. If you did, could I invite you to subscribe, like, and share this with a friend that you care about? This is how this message grows, about living life with your whole heart. And finally, if I can help serve you, your life, your leadership, your business in any capacity, please reach out to me at lancehoward.com. I'd be honored to serve you in a conversation that allows you to reach your next goals. Peace and courage to you on your journey.